The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Well, I mean, it wasn't that tough a decision, really. You know, it was a very easy decision. Number one, like I was saying, I like the city, love the players, and above all, I love to win. And I see us winning here for, you know, for a period of time, definitely, because we got a great nucleus. We have a young pitching staff, and, you know, this is what I like to do.
We might need a sign in the studio that says it has been X amount of days since Paul Gallant stepped over audio that he told Sean Mapes to play coming into a segment. That, the voice of Dusty Baker, manager of the Houston Astros.
That sign would be on 0 days. It would have been on 0 days coming into the
day. Yeah, we're on a streak.
Two-game losing streak.
Or you could say it's a two-game, you never know what's going to happen streak. Huh? Little unpredictability on the Paul Gallant show. I blame the pink eye. Pink eye Paul here for having a pink eye. Not ideal, but a Syracuse thing. Bob Costas had it at the Olympics. Marv Albert, I mean, probably had it. What? He likes certain things. Don't we all?
I don't think you can do that to Marv Albert. I don't think you can say just probably had it.
Well, listen. When certain things become a seat, it might lend itself to certain things getting in certain seeing devices.
How'd you get it?
I honestly don't know. I'm
uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, shut
Maybe
up.
Marv Albert.
No, no.
Yes!
Oh, my God. That I don't think we're ever topping that. That was incredible, Sean. 713-780-3776. Dusty Baker is the manager of the Houston Astros. And I think there's an argument to be made that he was robbed when it comes to the awards that were given out for manager of the year. Baker was fourth. He was behind first place winner Terry Francona of the Cleveland Guardians. I can get behind that. That seems like it's an easy one to throw out. If Cleveland plays well, just assume that all of their players aren't very good and that Francona's a great manager. By the way, Francona being fired by the Boston Red Sox, despite being their best manager ever, is the reason I don't like the Red Sox anymore. Like they smeared him after they fired him. It's one thing to fire him after, you know, a rough stretch to end the year. Brandon Hyde of the Baltimore Orioles. What's up with all this Orioles love? Ooh, the Orioles, they're cute. I guess they did play well throughout the year, even when they got rid of Trey Mancini. Brandon Hyde comes in second. Honestly, you could have told me that Brandon Hyde was a create a manager from MVP Baseball 2005. I'd have believed you. Sort of goes to show you my grasp of baseball outside of Houston. Scott Servais of the Seattle Mariners was third. Honestly, I thought Servais would have won it in 2021. Given what he was able to piece together with that Mariners team that did not have Julio Rodriguez. He came in third. He had a lot of third place votes. Fourth place, Dusty Baker. Three first place votes, three second place votes, seven third place votes. Followed by Aaron Boone and Kevin Cash. Boone should not have gotten any after the collapse that they had. Kevin Cash should not have had any after. He still shouldn't be forgiven for pulling, what's-his-face, Blake Snell in that World Series game. Also, I got to say about Baker being in fourth, like there was a lot of things to criticize him over the course of the regular season, but it is kind of weird that the manager of the best team never gets his due in any sport. It's all like, hey, what were you last year? Did you suck? Okay, well, if you sucked last year and you're still the manager of the team and the year afterwards the team's good, you get manager of the year. How about having the best record in the American League? I don't know. Sean Mapes, what was going on behind the glass back there? Because, I did do a bit of a drive-by while walking through the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 exterior studios. I was on my way to the bathroom, and I saw RJ, producer of The Bench, John and Lance, wearing a Lakers jacket, said 16-time champions. And I said, like, oh, I noticed you didn't add the 17th, which is good because there's an asterisk with that one. And he wasn't thrilled. Then on my way back, I said, well, but don't worry. You guys can pick up Kyrie Irving when he gets released, you know, being anti-Semitic and all.
Yeah, he didn't love that. He said, oh, you guys are talking bleep about the Lakers. And
yes.
I said, what? No, we haven't talked about the Lakers
but now
at
we
all
are.
Today.
It's fun to talk bleep about the Lakers. They stink.
I thought he was talking about on the show we're talking bleep about. I was like, we wouldn't talk about them. They stink.
Once
talk about awful basketball teams. And then he's like, oh, no, it was the drive-by that you did.
Yeah, it was a drive-by. Once we get into NBA season, don't worry. The Lakers, we will turn our guns on the Lakers for a couple of months.
I send them every trade rumor that the Lakers are in where it's like
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, or just like Buddy Hield. Like
could
he save the Lakers?
And then LeBron James. Would LeBron James endorse this move?
Yeah.
Hashtag the kid from Akron.
You know, I've always said that they're a Miles Turner away.
Miles Turner, that's a good one.
Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier, scary Terry. Did you see the dribble he had last night, bro? Anyway, back to talking about the Astros. Not the biggest deal that Dusty Baker didn't win Manager of the Year. He came in fourth, again, behind Terry Francona, Brandon Hyde of Baltimore, and third place, Scott, I like to fight people's service of the Seattle Mariners, who, honestly, not good for the entirety of the game, starting all those fights, starting all those scraps. But hey, at least they didn't start a scrap against the Astros in the playoffs. I kind of wish they did. Going forward, we touched on this yesterday in the 10 o'clock hour. How are you feeling with the knowledge that both Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson have large roles, it sounds like, with the Houston Astros because they are in Jim Crane's circle of trust, if you will? Here is a passage from The Pass, an article on ESPN.com. Crane felt coming into the 2022 season that the team needed more baseball men involved in operation decisions, invited Hall of Famers Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson into the team's weekly senior baseball operation meetings. The piece continues later. Bagwell, who, quote, Jim might trust more than anyone, end quote, according to one source familiar with the relationship and corroborated by another. That's interesting. Was critical of the Astros player development system even as it was graduating eventual ALCS and World Series MVP Jeremy Peña. Reggie Jackson, who joined the Astros in May of 2021 as a, quote, executive assistant, end quote, despite never playing for the organization. It is weird. What is he doing? Like, just bringing swag? That's what Reggie Jackson is. He is swag, but also, like, notorious for being a bleep to a lot of his teammates and a lot of his managers over the course of his career.
I think it's Jim Crane. Hey, I used to like watching Reggie Jackson play back in the day. Now I'm a rich billionaire. I own a baseball team. You got a job, Reggie Jackson.
I think that's partly it, Sean. I think since Jim Crane, this isn't meant to be a slight, by the way, but Jim Crane pitched in college. I think Jim Crane views himself as a jock. I would too. If I had like a slightly higher level of football to fall back on talking about, you bet your ass I would talk about it even more than I already do.
If you played like D2 or something?
If I played D1 and actually got on the field on a regular basis, I would bring it up constantly.
You'd be unbearable.
I really would. I really would. So thank goodness for all of you, that didn't happen. But I can understand how Jim Crane maybe identifies more with Hall of Fame baseball players. He likes them. He likes them around him. So that's why he brings in a Jeff Bagwell. That's why he brings in a Reggie Jackson. And obviously, they're both Hall of Famers, so you talk to those guys, you're going to listen to them, right? What are you going to say to a Hall of Fame baseball player? You don't know bleep? Even if they don't know bleep about the general state of the sport in 2022, you're not going to say that to them. I think Crane likes guys like that. I don't have a problem with that necessarily. I just think you got to be careful about that when you're talking about managing a baseball team on a day-to-day basis. There's nothing wrong with identifying as a jock. I identify as a washed-up jock, kind of. But I'm more of a nerd, and I know that, and you know that, too. You listen to me enough, you're like, wait a second, Paul. You bring up Star Wars half the show and Game of Thrones the other half of the show. Fair. But I am wondering about those two having big voices in the inner circle. to kind of continue with this piece talking about Reggie Jackson in particular, who has never had a great reputation for working with others. Jackson yelled at members of the team's front office this year and later would apologize, according to sources. That might have been a one-time thing. I don't think that's something that necessarily needs to be blown out of proportion. I do think it's consistent. Bagwell, continues this piece, met with Brad Ausmus last Friday, who apparently is a possible contender to be the Astros' general manager. If you were listening earlier today, we told you that Jim Crane has said that they're probably not going to make a move at general manager until after the turn of the year. But we're also talking about, with Ausmus, another ex-player who at the very least has a bit of an analytical mind as somebody who managed Detroit. The Angels expressed openness towards a front office job and apparently has some grasp of numbers and how to best use them. So that's a nice halfway point to be in, but is that the kind of person that you want taking over your roster construction, given that the reason you are where you are is because Jeff Luhnow has essentially raided the Caribbean like he is a pirate in the 1700s.
Saying that Brad Ausmus has some idea of numbers, some grasp of numbers, makes it seem like you're kind of insulting him.
That was not my intention.
He knows basic math.
So I get what you're saying. That definitely sounded weird. Per the article, there is an idea that Brad Ausmus is somebody who is open to analytics and actually incorporating them in and having a little bit of a balance of the, hey, I played with the, hey, I understand that these numbers are sometimes a more useful tool when it comes to determining who fits and who doesn't fit into my team. It helps me at least narrow my search area, searching pool or whatever. I don't know. You know, you get what I'm trying to say here. It makes the pool a little bit smaller of guys that we're, you know, searching for that we could potentially bring into our organization or something like that. But there is a part of me that does wonder just about like how many ex-baseball people does Jim Crane want around him? And by ex-baseball people, I mean not nerds. I mean like players. Is Jim Crane about to, you know, say to all of the guys in baseball who are analytically driven / nerds, is he about to grab their lunch tray and throw it on the floor and say, huh, nerd? Because that's what Jim Crane is going forward. Do you have concerns about Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson being involved in that decision-making process? I said it yesterday. I do. I honestly do. But your thoughts on that, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
By the way, we haven't done our official countdown to the start of the Houston Astros season yet. We want to make everyone aware it's right around the corner and we're on from the championship. I get it. Not a lot to criticize Jim Crane or the Astros for. Perhaps it's not the most fun place to work at, based off of what I have been hearing after doing a little off-the-record digging myself. But who cares? The World Series champs. We're just on to 2023. On to keeping the Seattle Mariners in their place. On to keeping the Yankees in their place. It's time for the countdown.
The 2023 baseball season is almost tomorrow. Are you even ready?
What do you have to say to everyone who still considers the Astros cheaters?
Y'all.
All right.
There's no downtime. What? You wanted a break from baseball? I guess you wanted a break from winning, loser.
Ring the f***ing bell! It's one of the World Series! Yeah!
It's the Astros.
Astros!
Astros countdown.
The number is at 134. And look, I'm a little concerned about Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson's potential impact on Jim Crane going forward. But the idea of jock Jim Crane as a character for our baseball conversation going forward is very exciting to me.
Giving Brian Cashman a wedgie?
Oh, yeah. As Junior Broncos suggests too, Sean, on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. And this one really got me laughing. I like to picture Crane walking into Click's office and just hitting buttons on Click's keyboard and saying, "Bleep your spreadsheet, nerd," and laughing. Yeah, I love that. Jim Crane comes in. He's got some sunglasses on. He's got himself a can of Miller Lite. Kicks the door open. Chugs a little bit of the beer. Goes up to whoever follows in James Click's shoes. Puts his arm around him, his left arm around him. Spills a little of the beer on that left with the left arm that he's holding it on the guy's shirt. He's got like this nice pressed shirt and a suit. And he gives him a noogie. And since he's bald, it's okay. You're not going to mess his hair up. Though it might leave a little bit of a rash. Maybe we should read all Jim Crane quotes going forward like we're jock Jim Crane. Because I love this idea that Jim Crane only hangs out with athletes because he was an athlete. And by the way, he was a good athlete. Like his numbers at whatever Missouri college that was, I'm not sure what level of college baseball that is, but they were good. Like I've seen them before. He actually had a pretty respectable playing career. And I've also heard a story, too, that I'm not allowed to say on the air where I feel like Jim Crane could very quickly seem a lot like a senior high school football player telling some other nerd to stay away from his girlfriend.
All right, careful.
What? I'm not saying
You're
anything.
You're not allowed to tell the story.
I'm not telling it. Okay. I'm not telling it. I'm just saying. I could easily see Jim Crane back in the day being like Johnny Lawrence in Cobra Kai, who was a sympathetic character when you give him a little bit of a backstory. I think there's a new season of Cobra Kai out. I haven't seen it yet. But here is a Jim Crane quote from the Houston Chronicle. This is how jock Jim Crane says it. Brian McTaggart asked Jim Crane who could replace Click. "Yeah, we've got some names. Some nerds out there. Probably going to lowball them. Got to keep them in their place, you know. Yeah, you're smart, but could you pick up the tens at school? Absolutely not. I wouldn't invite you to a party at Baker's later. Baker and I, we're going to be out on the streets along with Jeffy and Mr. October. We're going to be pounding beers, and this guy's going to be hard at work all day long doing my homework for me. I'm going to take my time on it this time. Last time, I was in a little crunch, just like I did to Scott Melvinson. Yeah, I put him in a crunch. Hey, you think chess club's cooler than the baseball team? Wrong. I didn't have a GM. I didn't have a manager. I do have a car. Look at my Camaro. We're not on red alert, bro. Okay? Relax. The nerds are going to take care of it for me." That is jock Jim Crane. And he did say that there are some solid baseball ops around. Yeah, Furcus? I don't even know his first name. Furcus, huh? What an idiot. What kind of last name is that? Hey, Furcus! You done with the spreadsheet? Charles Cook's been with the team a while, I think. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that stuff. I just lock him in the computer lab. Get on that spreadsheet. You don't know how to use Excel? Figure it out. What is Mavis Beacon teaches typing? I don't know. That's jock Jim Crane. Sean making a face at that. You never had to do Mavis Beacon teaches typing?
No, that might be where the generation gap is.
Yeah, you Gen Z people, you can't type worth a damn. You can't type.
I spent all my life typing.
Yeah, but you don't type.
You adopted don't type like typing. Me. I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't not type since I was, well, that doesn't work.
We started.
Until I was a grown man.
We started type. You know, we got a computer when I was 5.
Must be nice.
It was. It wasn't a great computer. We had dial up and everything. You've never had dial up. You don't even know what that is.
Nope.
Yeah.
Seen it in movies.
You don't know what it was like back in the day where not all music was available online. And you would illegally download music off of Kazaa and LimeWire. And you weren't even 100% sure that you were going to get the song that you were looking for. You would just enter in a name of a song that you thought it was. That's it. That's how it would work. Yeah. Tough times. I'm trying to think of some of the songs that I thought were there's probably a long list. I'll come back with this one because I can go back to my. I still have my iPod that I got like back in 2005, and I really want to know like what half the songs are labeled because I'm pretty sure most of them were wrong because I illegally downloaded the music. But I think since it's been 10 years, we are past the point of, you know, them being able to come after me. So sorry, Metallica.
I was gonna say Lars Ulrich is about to come in on a helicopter and arrest you.
Yeah, I can't now. Though that would, I mean, he probably does have the money to do that at this point in time.
For sure.
I'm sure he listens to the radio all day long, like just searching for somebody. Did he illegally download
music? Probably loved that Jock Jim Crane segment.
Oh, he did. Do you think Metallica would have been with the jocks or with like the grungy kids?
I think Hetfield, the lead singer, would have been with the jocks, the rest of them with the nerds.
Okay. There's no one in between? There's no punks? There's...
Nah, not really.
I don't really know anything about Metallica other than that I like three of their songs. But I'm musically challenged. And I can't even name you.
Probably like more than three of their, but you know of three songs.
I know of three songs, yeah. Yes. But off the top of my head, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. 713-780-3776 to call in. That is how you text in as well on the Paul Gallant Show. What teams are officially dead across the NFL? You might have seen that Cooper Kupp is getting surgery on his ankle for what? It's a tightrope surgery? What does that even mean? But he's getting surgery on his ankle. So really quickly, before we head to the break, I'm just going to kill a bunch of teams. I'm killing the Rams. It is BS that the Rams won a Super Bowl last year. I refuse to accept that they won. They should not have won. This is what they should have been last year. But you got Matt Stafford dealing with a concussion. Rams, dead. Texans, dead. Jaguars, dead. We're going through some of them really quickly. Colts, Jeff Saturday, not dead yet. Steelers, dead. Browns, honestly, still close enough to striking distance with a Deshaun Watson return that I can't quite say that. Raiders, really dead. I can't believe they're still rolling with Josh McDaniels. Broncos, dead. In the NFC, Bears, Lions, dead. Though the Bears at least have been frisky of late, and the Lions have been respectable too. Saints, dead. They're still rolling with Andy Dalton. What are they doing? Just go back to injured Jameis Winston. At least it's fun that way. Panthers, back to Baker Mayfield. Dead. Rams, dead. Cardinals, dead. There you go. Those are all the dead teams in the NFL. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 if you have any reaction to that. Who is the most insufferable superstar athlete in sports? You might be thinking that this is a segue to an Aaron Rodgers segment, and Rodgers will be talked about. Or this is a segue to a LeBron segment. No, this is a segue to an athlete that does not get talked about nearly enough for how much of a D-bag he is. Who is he? You'll find out next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
How many of y'all are familiar with international soccer? I'll be honest, I ain't on Glenn Davis' level. I think you guys know that already. When is the World Cup? Like, I don't even know. Starts, what, a couple weeks?
No, I think the 20th.
Oh, shoot, so it's next week. Oh,
I'll get on. I'll double check that, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I'm gonna be in the air, I guess. Flying back home to Boston during the United States Wales game. I guess that's the one that you don't have to watch. Anyway, yeah, the World Cup is starting on Monday. One of the players who you have seen in many a World Cup, starring for Portugal, are they even in it? They are. I don't think they play until next Thursday. Thanksgiving soccer. That's just wrong.
U.S. versus England's on Black Friday.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And also, since it's in Qatar, I think it's at like noon or something.
Oh, even better. That's amazing.
I'll double check that.
Okay. Please double check that. We don't know anything about it. But we do know Ronaldo plays for Portugal, and that Ronaldo is technically on the Manchester United right now. There's a weird situation going on there because Ronaldo doesn't like it. Why? It might be because Man U is not playing particularly well this year. They're like the Yankees of soccer. They're having a rough year. But Ronaldo also is mad about a variety of other things. And we're talking about a guy who very recently walked off the pitch. I got the term right. While his team was still playing in a game. And I think, man, you had a dramatic comeback victory recently, too, against somebody. And he did not celebrate with the team. He thinks that the actual facilities that Man U has are trash. He doesn't like the manager of Ronaldo who suspended him. The guy's name is Ten Hag, which is hilarious to me. He does not expect special treatment, it's been said, but he does expect to be treated with the respect he feels he has earned, which is legitimately the definition of special treatment. He also said his three-month-old daughter was hospitalized in July. He couldn't return for the preseason. Senior executives at Man U doubted him, and this bothered him. So, a lot of reasons for him to be frustrated. I don't buy most of them. I think that Ronaldo is like the epitome of a hot person who has had their ass kissed way too much. Here is Ronaldo on an interview with Piers Morgan bitching and moaning about his situation with Manchester United.
They're trying to force you out.
Yes, not only the coach, but the other two or three guys there around the club.
At the senior executive level?
Yes, that I felt betrayed.
And you think they're trying to get rid of you?
Honestly, I shouldn't say that, I don't know. But listen, I don't care. I'm always, people should listen to the truth. Yes, I feel betrayed. And I felt that some people that don't want me here, not only this year, but last year too.
Thanks for the outro music, Piers Morgan.
I had to include that because it makes it feel more, whoa.
Just breaking big. News. Breaking news. Ronaldo feels betrayed. Okay. I have zero sympathy for superstar athletes. I generally think they're all entitled, and I also think that a lot of them have gotten to a point in their careers where they believe that they actually can do no wrong. So is Ronaldo actually the most insufferable superstar athlete? Because there are some other nominees out there. There's LeBron James, who I don't think is a bad guy. I think LeBron James just constantly talks about things he knows nothing about and expects you to believe that he actually knows what he's talking about. And he tells many a, I would say, white lie. I don't think anything that LeBron has lied about has been like so bad, like, whoa, you know? But that's the point of why it's so annoying that he lies about things. It's like, why did you lie about this? Why not just be honest for once?
They're kind of like, yeah, they're like weird, funny things to lie about. Like, it's nothing crazy, but it is also just like, it's just funny that he obviously has not watched The Godfather and then lies about watching The Godfather.
He is one of a few athletes that does not need to pretend. He really doesn't. People are going to accept him. But he acts fake. And to me, that's the most insufferable thing of all. Like, obviously, you can just suck as a person. But we're talking about insufferable here. Ronaldo's definitely up there. How about Aaron Rodgers? You might have missed this on Sunday. After the Packers beat the Cowboys, Rodgers was asked about a conversation he had on the sideline with Matt LaFleur.
What were you so upset about at the last drive of regulation there coming off?
Just every single play call, probably.
Is there a reason those play calls were upsetting to you?
Yeah, I feel like we were like 30 yards from end of the game in regulation. And also felt like it was 2 minutes, so I was going to be calling those, and I was in a pretty good rhythm. Obviously didn't have a ton of attempts tonight, but it felt like I was in a pretty good rhythm. I felt like I threw the ball just about exactly where I wanted to tonight. And so I wanted a chance to go win the game.
But you haven't for most of the year, and the reason the Packers won is because Aaron Jones had a great day and A.J. Dillon had a very good complimentary day. The Packers won against the Cowboys because they ran all over them on Sunday. So you can understand why LaFleur maybe would be a little hesitant to put it all on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders, and Rodgers wants all of the pressure, I guess. Okay, fine. But Rodgers has spoken up about a lot of things. There are some things that I agree with him about, but there's always an air of thinking he's a lot smarter than he actually is whenever he speaks. And I have no problem with somebody speaking about things that they don't know about, but there's always this certainty that kind of you can hear in Aaron Rodgers' voice. Rodgers, I think on the Pat McAfee show, also had this take on social media, whether or not he should be on it.
I enjoy Instagram a little bit more at this point. I look forward to the day I have no social media, which may be coming sooner than later. But at this point, I'm not going to make any drastic social media changes.
What's up with the extended tease?
Also, like, yeah, you can just not...
Just get off.
Yeah, like, you can go Zero Dark 12. Like, it's during the season. Like, this is the time to make a post that you're quitting social media.
Seriously. You can... You also can, if you want, get a burner account for Instagram, stay on Instagram, follow all the things you want to follow on Instagram, and just never comment at all. Never post at all. You won't have to deal with anything at all. Just get a burner account for the gram. I know some people who have them. It's kind of annoying, too, when you like know somebody and they have like six accounts, and you're like, wait a second, do I follow this one? Eh, I don't really want it.
You can't follow a burner that you know is a burner, because that's just incriminating. That's, you know, on the giant FBI board,
yeah,
you're drawing red yarn towards you and the person.
That is true.
So you have to keep your head down. Be a good soldier.
There is somebody, Sean, that I cared / care a lot about, who blocked me on Instagram and yet would follow all of my stories with a burner account, which I was, first off, able to discover, and then found out that there are multiple burner accounts that this person may or may not have had. And this person is just constantly in their phone. I don't know. I don't know what to do about that. I don't know what to do with that information.
I don't know either. If you're looking for guidance on this one.
No, there's no guidance I'm looking for. I just think it's kind of weird to have that many accounts. Just have the two. Like, I have my work account, and I have my personal account. And if you don't want the accounts, delete them. Just get off. If you're not working in this industry, you don't need the accounts. And Sean doesn't even have Instagram to begin with. Props to you. That app will suck you in. Much like TikTok, which I refuse to do anything except for post to. I never look at it. I never read the comments. Unless it's like angry Philadelphians or New Yorkers and I kind of laugh at mad people.
Yo, this isn't busting at all.
Yo, on God, dog.
Fam, delete this.
Yo, yeah. L take. That's the one that annoys me the most. It's like, L take. Expand on that. L take, I said. Who's the most insufferable athlete in sports? I think Ronaldo is number one. I think LeBron is two. I think Ronaldo's worse. Like, I don't think there's one redeeming quality that Ronaldo has. Like, I don't think, at least LeBron has, I mean, again, there's always an air of he's doing this like for his image and stuff. But I do think that LeBron at least has made the effort to do good things. But Ronaldo, like, what's the last, like, story that you heard about Ronaldo? Like, didn't he get, like, accused of, like, sexual assault or something like that? And I don't know if that was disproven or whatever, but, like, I've never heard a good story about Ronaldo other than, hey, here's a statue of Ronaldo who looks like he got hit in his face with a shovel. Hey, here's a statue of Ronaldo that has a massive dong. It's a statue, and people keep touching it, and they're wearing it down, and this is an issue. Also up there is Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady's annoying. I definitely think for some people, and obviously not for me because he's my Lord and Savior, I think that he is in that kind of realm. But Brady doesn't – it's more Brady does things that you're like, what? I think some people look at the whole dating Gisele Bündchen after Bridget Moynihan. They're like, what was going on there? There's the Trump hat thing, which was ridiculous that people got so worked up about it. There's like, oh, he's texting Ron DeSantis, another thing that's ridiculous people are getting worked up about. Look, there's a couple of things that people are annoyed by that he does, but he never says anything that makes him seem, like, completely fake, is there?
Yeah, it's like, and now the, like, since he left New England, the, like, obvious push on social media to make Tom Brady more, like, likable and,
yeah,
like, a real person, where it's like, dude, you're Tom Brady, like, stop. Like, I know these videos that you post are obviously fake, like,
yeah,
you throwing the ball to yourself or whatever, like, you don't have to do this. It's more like eye roll annoying than it is, like, I don't think he's on the medal stand.
I do think, like, his posts, even if they are kind of annoying, like, because you know it's not done by him, they're way better than every single LeBron James post, which is always something about him. What?
He's just a kid from Akron. He doesn't have a social team.
Wow, Mother Teresa. like a young LeBron James right there. Although.
I told you Jalen Green was the truth.
Yeah.
I told everyone that Jeremy Pena not only could win yes. ALCS MVP, but also World Series MVP.
He 100%.
I told Damon Jones that back in 07.
Damon Jones, what a reference. Kyrie Irving is not a superstar anymore, so he's not eligible for this. So there you go. The insufferable superstar athlete Mount Rushmore. It's Brady, Rodgers, LeBron, and Ronaldo. But I think Brady's at the very bottom of that. There's probably some others that are missing. 713-780-3776. Hey, let's check in with our neighbors, our football neighbors. What's going on in Big D? Is OBJ actually going to sign there? And what does Jerry think about one Dak Prescott? But first, guys, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS. Look, things are getting expensive. Inflation is everywhere. And you're probably thinking to yourself, how can I save a buck? How can I save a bunch of money over the course of a calendar year? Maybe up to $800. Well, you should text the word money to 232323. TGS will text you and say, like, hey, where do you live? Given the address, 15 seconds later, you're going to have some quotes on alternatives for your home insurance. Don't you want to save money? And look, I mean, there's a lot of things that you got to take care of over the course of a day if you're trying to save money. Maybe you're like me. Right now, I have a couple of things that I have on auto subscribe that I need to get out of. I wish that it was as simple as just texting the word money to 2323 and that they could take care of all the other things. But for home insurance, they have you covered. Again, you just got to text the word money to 232323 and then your address afterwards. And they're going to help you save a lot of money, whole lot of money. Whole lot of money, AB style. Once again, text the word money to 232323. It's TGS Insurance.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
There are some caping for Ronaldo on our Twitch line, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Pinche says Ronaldo's only insufferable to those jealous of his looks, like Paulie. I mean, he is objectively hot. I can't deny that. And yeah, 100%. I am jealous. King of all Twitches says Ronaldo was actually a good dude. You know what? Honestly, I don't know. I do know that those sexual assault charges were dismissed in the United States, and of all the countries for charges to be dismissed, you would think that's probably a pretty high up there as far as it, you know, not being probably being the right call. I guess he's also suing that person, though, back. Understandably, perhaps so. I think for Ronaldo, though, the thing with like him acting like he's being betrayed, shut up. You're an old soccer player. You're not the same player that you are. I mean, if you want some numbers, does Paul Gallant have some soccer numbers to bring to the table? Ronaldo started in 4 games. And Manchester United has 4 out of 12 points in those games, and they've been outscored 7-2.
Should we have to dust off a little football, Paul?
I don't know anything about it.
For World Cup's coming up. Maybe some football, Paul.
I used to like soccer a lot. FIFA 14, I got it. And then the U.S. missed the World Cup, and I just checked out. I also picked Everton as my team. Lukaku gone. Tim Howard gone. I think Ross Barkley gone. You know, like Lance Sterling and I are the two Everton fans of the station, but I'm like, Also, part of it was I moved to the West Coast, and like you got to get up even earlier to watch soccer. Other people on the insufferable athlete conversation. Jack Easterby on Twitch. Ronaldo's redeemable quality is being beautiful, and that's all that matters. I mean, it is true. That's all I have going for me. Although I'm like a hard 6, 7. It's above a 5. My mommy says I'm a 10. What about Russell Wilson? Mr. Limited, pretty damn obnoxious. Yeah, but he's not a superstar athlete anymore, kind of like Kyrie Irving, especially this year. Sean, you actually had a good one, though, during the commercial break, and it's funny because a tweet came to you that's kind of further proof of this superstar's insufferability.
Yeah, late breaking, or, you know, late push from Kevin Durant, I guess, to be included on this, which he deserves a mention. I don't think he's to that caliber, but then when you have quotes like this drop in the middle of the segment that you're talking about insufferable athletes, so here's... I'll start with the first one that's less explosive and then the second one that's somehow more explosive.
Less explosive than more explosive.
Okay. Quote, we're all playing like bleep. You know, the one person they're going to look at, is that's why I requested the trade.
He owns it.
And then
I respect the honesty there.
And then the next one, quote, look at our starting lineup. Edmund Sumner, Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris, Nick Claxton, and me. It's not disrespect, but what are you expecting from that group? You expect us to win because I'm here.
I don't disagree with either of those takes. I think that Durant trying to distance himself from creating the mess that the Brooklyn Nets are now in, that is another story. Because they brought in James Harden, who was out of shape, who was like, well, I need a full season to get into shape. And Kyrie Irving, who's obviously a crazy person and has all sorts of baggage that should have been thought about, given that it was all there in Boston. Boston wasn't like smearing him on the way out, but like anyone who was in that Celtics organization knew how awful Kyrie Irving was. Like they all were like, yeah, this guy absolutely stinks. Durant has totally removed himself from the creation of this team. That to me is insufferable. So he definitely deserves a mention. But those quotes, I agree with both of them 100%.
Also, bad timing with them losing 153-121 last night.
153?
They gave up 153 points
Holy
to the Kings.
Christ, that is a lot of points. All right, let's check in with our neighbors really quickly before we hit the road. The Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones is the owner of the team. He does an interview on 105.3 The Fan up in Dallas and was asked to respond to Stephen A. Smith's comments saying that Jerry hasn't gotten his money's worth out of Dak Prescott.
The strength that I look at of our chance to win a championship is Dak and his leadership at that position. But his leadership, but because he plays that position, let me say it that way. And so I would not, and he didn't expect me to, I'm sure, but I don't think that's accurate.
I do think it is accurate. They haven't gotten their money's worth out of Dak Prescott. Prescott has not ascended towards the top of the NFL as far as a quarterback since they gave him that contract. He is still in that anywhere from 12 to, on a great day, 6th best quarterback kind of range. And honestly, of late, you've seen him in that 12 to 16 range more often than you would like. He is a guy that has a lot of gifts, pretty good arm, mobility, and the mobility is something he doesn't use to the same degree he used to. He needs to find a way to get back to that. And he sucked against the Packers on Sunday. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can blame the receiving core. And Odell Beckham Jr., his name has been hinted with the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones said, like, hey, we're talking. I think that the big problem is that OBJ is not 100% healthy. Once he's 100% healthy, which might be after Thanksgiving, maybe you see him on a roster somewhere. But I don't think that's on the receiving core necessarily. He just hasn't played well. This has been the Paul Gallant Show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you don't. Look Paul Gallant Show up. We're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And of course, make sure that you keep watching, listening to this show on twitch.tv/ESPN975 to our Twitchers, our texters, and our callers. And of course, Sean Mapes, the one and only man behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.